Trade ministers from around the Pacific, including Australia's Stephen Chobo, have this week been in Brisbane negotiating a new trade agreement called the Pacific Agreement on Closer Economic Relations. Originally supposed to include all the Pacific economies, in the end, Papua New Guinea and Fiji opted out, leaving Australia, New Zealand, and 12 smaller economies as the parties that agreed to the terms negotiated. The Australian Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade had previously said that Australia's primary objective is to promote the economic development of Forum Island countries through greater regional trade and economic integration. I spoke to Patricia Renaud, convener of the Australian Fair Trade and Investment Network, about whether the agreement known as the PACER Plus actually does that. So this week in Brisbane, trade ministers from around the Pacific have been working out the Pacific Agreement on Closer Economic Relations. Can you tell us, what does this agreement known as the PACER Plus actually include?
Well, it was originally meant to be Australia and 14 other Pacific Island countries, and what they've finalised this week is only 12 of those 14 countries. So the two largest economies, Fiji and Papua New Guinea, are actually not in the agreement. And that's why we're critical of it, because without those two economies, it's really not a proper regional agreement. And the reason that they're not in it is because there's really not much advantage for them. Basically, all of the Pacific Island economies already have tariff-free access for their goods into Australia. They're much smaller economies than Australia, obviously, and New Zealand. The advantage for Australia and New Zealand is that they want reduced tariffs for Australia and New Zealand exports to go into Pacific Island countries. The problem here is that many of these are very small economies, even PNG and Fiji. They want to protect their infant industries and to have the opportunity to develop them. And the terms of the agreement don't really allow that to happen. They also have to open up their service industries to much greater investment from Australia and New Zealand, and they are concerned that this will mean less ability to regulate and more pressures for privatisation. But in terms of the reducing of tariffs, a lot of these economies rely significantly for government income from tariff revenue. So it'll be a big shock to those economies, and again, reduce their ability to provide things like government services. So basically, there hasn't been, you know, agreement reached, especially with those two larger economies, which have slightly more bargaining power, and they're saying they don't want to be in it. So what we're saying is that really the Australia and New Zealand government shouldn't be forcing this agreement onto the smaller economies in the Pacific.
The government rhetoric from Australia in particular was very open about the fact that it's a bit of an economic mismatch, but they were trying to phrase it in ways that it helps the development of these Pacific economies. Does it do that?
Well, there has been some increased money in terms of aid money to implement the agreement, but I think really the proof of the pudding is that Fiji and PNG are saying no, there aren't enough development benefits for us in this agreement, and they are worried that their industries, which are just starting to grow, will not have sufficient protection during that period when they should be growing and developing into stronger industries.
Is aid money really supposed to be used as a bargaining chip in trade agreements?
No, it's not. But this is where the bargaining power comes in. I mean, Australia and New Zealand are the two big economies. They're the source of most of the aid money. And if you look at the really small economies like Cook Islands or Vanuatu or Tuvalu, of course they're going to be tempted to say yes to things if there is aid money attached. It's not an equal bargaining position, and that's why we're saying that if Fiji and PNG won't be in it, then there's probably something wrong with the agreement, because they have got a slightly stronger bargaining position and they're saying there's not enough in it for them.
I mean, for me, looking at it, the elephant in the room seems to be climate change, and talking about economic development for Pacific countries without addressing the issue of climate change seems to be a bit of talking around the main issue, doesn't it?
Well, that's right. We've said from the beginning of these negotiations, and the Pacific Island governments have said that themselves, including Fiji and PNG, that climate change is the really big issue for them, and they want countries like Australia and the other large global economies to actually address climate change, because in some of the Pacific Island countries, they're already experiencing climate refugees from rising sea levels. People have had to move away because their land is being submerged. So they do see that as a much higher priority than a free trade agreement, and they've said that all along. I think that's partly why the negotiations have taken 8 years. And certainly civil society groups in both Australia and the Pacific Islands have been saying that as well.
So what happens next for the PACER Plus agreement?
What they did in Brisbane, you should be aware of, is they said they've finalised the text of the agreement, but it's not due to be actually signed until June. So we're hoping that there can still be some possibility of, you know, a change in that situation. But if the Australian and New Zealand governments do go ahead and get these smaller economies to sign, in our view, it's not going to be a very meaningful agreement, and it won't be good for those economies.